Today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
At the hotel, I paid the driver and gave him a tip. The car was powdered with dust. I rubbed the guitar case through the dust. It seemed the last thing that connected me with Louisville and the fest. The driver put the car into gear and went down the street. I watched it turn off and take the road to Kentucky. I went into the hotel and they gave me a room. It was the same room I had slept in when Brad and Bill and Jim and Eric and I were in Cincinnati.
All right, Patrick, have you recovered yet from Suburbs Fest South?
Barely. It's been a month or so, but I've been recuperating slowly and steadily, and I think I'm just about there. I'm almost ready for another one, maybe in a month or so.
Whew, yeah. Yeah, well, yeah, that's about how much time we have until the next one. So better build up your strength. Better be.
I know it.
Better drink lots of orange juice. All right? Now, here on Rockin' the Suburbs, I'm Jim Lenihan.
And I'm Patrick Foster.
So we staged one of our, well, now it's like we're doing like two a year, like insane people. But we just staged one of our Suburbs Fests in Louisville, Kentucky. If you've been listening to the program, you have heard some episodes from that, from a recording that we did with a bunch of very talented musicians. I thought all that just came out fantastic.
Amazing. Amazing.
So happy with all of that. So you probably listened to all that. But there was more than just that one session. And so what we've done here, just to do sort of a recap with what all a, to give you a sense of what all a Suburb Fest entails, if you have not been, we gathered some people who attended. They are here on this Zoom, and they're going to be the ones to tell you as much as we are. Okay, so I'm going to welcome here. We have several people. We'll get to them sort of one by one as they want to chime in. I would just say welcome to all of you. Just do a collective hello.
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 Hi.
Hello.
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 And I guess let's just kind of take this in sequential order. So the first thing we did, we just gathered together and we went to a baseball game. This was Rob Gates' idea. Bill Mulligan also was very important in sort of organizing all this and pulling this together. But we went to see the Louisville Bats. We had the party patio set up with a buffet of food, and there were $2 beers. I mean, it's like they saw us coming, and I think they almost ran out. But anyway, we went to the Bats game and hung out on the party patio, and I don't know, anybody have any great fond memories of that? Adam Coop?
Yeah, first of all, thanks for coming to my city. Thanks for partying with us for a few days, but I really enjoyed that first day because the rest of the weekend there were so many activities geared around music that first night was really a great opportunity to get together and talk to people. And, you know, like I met Scott Parks for the first time in person, right? So that the only drawback to Suburbs Fest is that you almost don't have enough time to engage with everybody. And that mm-hmm. first night really helped you know, give us an opportunity to come together and just talk, you know.
Let's go to Kevin Bartlett.
Yeah, I thought the first night was fantastic. I drove in with Scott Parks that day. You know, traveling, it's tough that day of traveling, even if you're driving for a few hours. But to Adam's point, you know, being able to see people, first of all, crashing in Dr. Bob's hotel room while he's recording his show just before we even got to the baseball game, because, you know, we had to have some pre-lubricants, if you will, and got to the baseball game, and it was hot, and I threw down a number of those hot dogs and $2 beers, and then I just remember saying, hey guys, I got to go back to the hotel and take a nap. I'll catch up with you later. Well, later was the next day. So
I very much enjoyed Eric Didrikson's heckling of the right fielder of the Omaha Storm Chasers, and he ended up making a couple errors in the game. But hey, the Bats, man, they crushed. They scored double digits.
I know. It was exciting there in Louisville Slugger Field. All right. I think Rob had something as well.
Yeah, well, for those of you doing math at home on those $2 beers, You could buy 9 of those for the price of a single beer at National Park here at in DC. So probably a lot of listeners don't know I lived in Louisville for 17 years, moving out here to the DC burbs in 2016. And we spent a lot of time at Slugger Field, and it's always a great place to go. And as Coop said, you know, there's a lot of space there, a lot of opportunity for everybody to talk. It's funny, I arrived there late. Of course, we drove from here, suburban DC. It took us about 9 hours and dropped our stuff at the Gault House and at the wonderful Gault House in our wonderful room. Thank you, Billy McNeil, for those hooking us up there. That was great. And headed over to the park. And I think, you know, that first night, the baseball game and everything. And then, of course, you know, we managed to get over to a couple bars after that. But I think that set the tone for the fest in a couple ways. But the main one being that the location of things there in Louisville were all very close. Yeah. It was very easy, either walkable to a lot of the events, or we were able to, you know, catch an Uber. And it was just great, you know, like Kevin said, you know, to arrive there and see everybody. You know, it was fantastic.
Yeah, you're right. Shout out absolutely to Billy McNeil. He's a big wig over there at the Gault House, and he hooked us up.
When I walked into Jim's room, I almost passed out. I couldn't believe how big it was. It's bigger than my house. It was a suite. It had a hallway.
Okay, so that was the baseball game, and that was a great time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so then Friday night, we went to Gravely Brewing, and we had our live Hootenanny, and that was a combination of open mic and live band karaoke with Frank Muffin. I don't know about you guys, but man, I thought that just went really, really well.
It was great.
Rob, again.
Yeah, this may have been my favorite event of the fest. Not only was it great to see the usual rogues gallery of folks come across the stage and play music and offer some commentary, you know, looking at you, Eric, but the seeing people from the crowd coming up and participating in live band karaoke was fantastic. And Jim, watching you run around with the clipboard and the sign-up sheet, trying to identify who all these people were, and some of those folks, and again, these are people who just happened to be at the brewery that night who decided to sign up and sing. Some of them were just fantastic.
Absolutely. It's the kind of night that you could not possibly plan. It's all, you know, just spontaneous moments, right? I mean, there was planning involved in it. I don't want to sell Frank Muffin short.
Right.
They did a lot of work
right.
to to learn, you know, a variety of songs. They had like 75 songs ready to go with the teleprompter, with the lyrics, all of that kind of stuff. So there was a lot of work that went into it. But you know what I'm saying. There was a lot of serendipity that went into this.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I want to say, too, not only did they have all those songs prepared for live karaoke, they also prepared songs with certain people from our listenership, including Rob Gates, who did an amazing version of Bob Dylan's Hurricane, which is not like a simple Bob Dylan song. You know, I mean, it's an epic story that they just executed perfectly.
The live band karaoke has become my favorite part of Suburbs Fest. I mean, Frank Muffin, they do an absolute incredible job. And, you know, I have no singing voice, but, you know, I get up there and do something. Like, you know, last year I did Panama and my kids heard the recording of it and ridiculed the hell out of me. Like, hey, how come every time you sang Panama, it was in a different key? And I'm like, I don't even know what a key is. So, you know, back it down, right? And so, but just getting up there and having a, I mean, for those of us who've never been in a band or anything and who can't sing and really probably shouldn't be on the stage, having a full band behind right. you, it's amazing. And then before my song, I'm like, I go, Hans, you're going to have to cue me, man. Because it's not like you've got, you know, for people who don't know, we're doing live band karaoke. It's a static song sheet. So it's not like where karaoke bar where the ball is moving and it's timing you in terms of, you know, when you come in
right.
to sing.
Right.
So, you know, I don't have great timing.
You did a great job. You sang Squeeze Box, as I recall.
I've got the ultimate segue now for my radio show. I can do Kevin's Squeeze Box into Strokin' by Keith Jacobson.
It's Keith Jacobson. Well, Keith Jacobson has his hand up right now. So, Keith, what would you like to say?
First of all, I want to say poor Kevin Bartlett there and Dr. Bob Peterson. They made a rookie error in the karaoke live band karaoke, and they were the first couple to sign up. And so I think they were like straight out of the gate and both of them were like, oh my gosh, I'm not really ready now. See, the key is you got to wait a little bit and get a little further down that list so that those beverages are flowing and you have that liquid courage to get up there with Frank Muffin. So for those of you headed to Suburbs Fest DC, just take that as a tip. So, and I'm sorry I was late to the recording here, but I wanted to point out, you're talking about the Galt House Hotel. So my room was a spectacular room. Thank you, Billy. But it was across the hallway from Patrick. And on Friday morning, I woke up. I was doing a little bit of work. And all of a sudden, I heard these strange sounds coming from what I thought was the hallway. I thought Patrick Foster was out there with a flute playing something in the hallway. But I learned quickly that that was actually the Belle of Louisville with its sweet tones of the Calliope, which we heard all weekend long. That was really the highlight of the weekend, was the Calliope. So, yeah.
Kevin Clement.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, yeah, the Friday night was awesome. And I wanted to thank Patrick as well as Brad Mailer for indulging me and doing playing the guitars for me for a Gordon Lightfoot song. That was really great. And also coaxed Patrick into doing a duet of You're So Vain with me. It didn't take much coaxing.
No, I was honored. I really was. And you are welcome, Kevin. I thought it came out great and was so much fun. I think your voice really suits that Gordon Lightfoot song, too. And I will say really quick, Jim, a word on the location. Gravelly Brewing was fantastic. That backdrop behind the beer area with all those stereos and everything. And then when you walked in the drums, that was a really cool spot. And they were well equipped to handle us. And the music area was fantastic. It was really, really good.
I don't think I've seen a brewery with such a good setup for live music. You know, their stage setup was fantastic and their sound equipment, although there was some trouble getting it going. But once we got it going,
it was
really good.
Yep.
Now, and I will also just tell listeners, anybody, if you happen to be in Louisville, definitely go to Gravelly Brewing because what Patrick was mentioning, behind the bar, it's the decor is like vintage stereo equipment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't think it's like working or anything. It's just, you know, up there for display, but it's very, very cool.
Prior to that night, we had an unscheduled field trip to Guest Room mm-hmm. Records.
Mm-hmm.
I think we had about 3 carloads full of people, and I was in Keith Jacobson's vehicle. Bless you. Yeah, that's always fun going record shopping, especially with a bunch of guys who like about the same type of music as you. So that was a fun little field trip.
I also want to note that it's very bizarre that I received a request from Adam Koop to pick up a 12-pack of Modelo before going to Guest Room Records to pass that along to Travis, who's the owner of the fantastic store, Guest Room Records. So. Yeah. Yeah, not very often you bring beer to the record store, but it's a great idea.
Gotta pay homage.
So, pay yes. homage. That's yes.
Right. Yes.
That's right.
Okay. And then Saturday, we had 2 events on Saturday. So let's start first with the Saturday afternoon event, which was the podcast recording that we did. Those were the episodes that presumably everybody has just listened to. As I mentioned up top, really just tremendous performers, and you know, got to give a shout out to the sound guy. McKinley mm-hmm. is his name.
Mm-hmm.
Man, he really did a great job capturing those performers.
Indeed,
indeed,
it really went well. And I don't need to go too much into this because I think, you know, by this point people have heard a lot of it. But I don't know, any thoughts from people who were there? What it was like to be there? I guess, Rob.
Yeah. So the first performer that got up there was Chadwick Wild, who, you know, I had never heard of. And I think just what was interesting from that, first of all, that another great venue that did not exist in Louisville when I was there.
The Whirling Tiger. Shout out to the Whirling Tiger.
Yeah. Yep. Whirling Tiger.
This was great.
Yeah. Great performance venue. Great bar. You know, Chadwick Wild played. We heard him. You guys interviewed him. And then we went to see, Jim, you and I went to see Chadwick Wild here in D.C., yes. At a venue that we had never been in here at DC, right. At the Pie Shop, and we saw him and his band, and it was a great show. And I never would have gone to that show if I had not seen Chadwick in Louisville. It's just interesting how it sort of all ties together. And I may actually download some of his music, which, as you know, if it's not Grateful Dead related, I seldom download anything.
Adam Koop.
I think that every band should be interviewed immediately following their performance. I think that should just be a standard rule for all concerts moving forward. It's just brilliant to sit there and watch them play and then get to know them. You know, maybe after the interview, they need to go back up for an encore or something. But anyway, I absolutely loved it. And then also another thing that I want to point out is how different every band was, right? It was, it's not like, oh, here's 6 rock bands. You know, we had bluegrass, we had jazz, we had rock, we had art rock. No, it was, you know, Jeffrey Lee Puckett in his interview, I think he said it best, is like, Louisville doesn't really have a scene because we embrace all music.
For that, I really need to give a shout out to Jeffrey Lee Puckett and also John Timmons, because while one portion of that show was an interview with them about Louisville music, they also were instrumental in connecting me with some of the performers who agreed to do it. Quick clarification, Adam Koop was also very helpful in lining up guests for this event. Wanted to make sure that he was not overlooked here. So what I would say here is, any listener, get to know your local musicians. They're good people, right? Okay, Saturday night, the Rock and Roll Blowout at 21st in Germantown, I think was the name of the club. Dive bar sort of setting, stage in the back room. Headliner we'll get to in a moment, but first off, the first band was The Excuses. Did anybody catch their set? Have any thoughts about The Excuses?
Yeah, I love The Excuses. It's funny because when we interviewed the lead singer and guitar player, Dave, he was like in his house and he had like a bookshelf behind him with, you know, not books with knowledge in them. And he was wearing a white button down shirt, you know, and he had his glasses and he looked very studious. And all of a sudden he comes on stage in like a jumpsuit, you know, in like Doc Martens, and he's like ready to go to work. And they just wailed, man. It was fantastic.
I was curious as to what Billy McNeil's thoughts were on The Excuses, you know, because I saw him standing right up in front, well, swaying right up in front. So I'm curious, Billy, you know, like, what did you feel about the band?
Yeah, they were spectacular, from what I hear. I don't remember much of anything. I was at the bar with a couple of fellas. I think Coley was there, Adam Koop. I forget his name. Help me out, Adam.
Scott Park.
Scott. And yeah, I've never tried Malort before, and I'll never try it again. So I still don't think my brain has recovered from whatever that hallucinogenic compound that I drank or consumed did. So if I was enjoying it, it was an out-of-body experience, and I really don't. I have no commentary other than that.
And then the big headliner was Dash Riprock. Patrick, Dash Riprock.
Yeah, it was incredible. It was incredible to see Bill and incredible to watch him, a true American legend, when he gets up on stage. I mean, there are a few people who have that command of, you know, a band the way he does. It's kind of amazing the way they change songs so fast. They throw in all those little asides. And I love it. You know, he apparently plays a little slide guitar. Starts off with a, you know, a beer bottle and moves to, you know, a piece of equipment, and then uses another guitar to play slide guitar and then use the chair. I've seen Dash play several times, and I've seen him do the slide guitar with another guitar, but I've never seen him go to the chair.
The chair was so impressive because it was like one of those.
It was special for us.
I don't know how you describe it. Just like a chair with like a metal frame. Right. And, you know, just like a chair would be at just like a table where you eat.
Yeah.
And, you know, but he, the way he's, it's like he obviously has done this in the past, right? Because he knew how to balance it just right, like on his shoulder and his arm, and get
kind of
just
the right angle of
that metal
it.
Chair leg across the neck of the guitar. And but he really did that. That really happened.
It was crazy. It really did happen. Yeah. And I have photos to prove it that Kevin Bartlett sent me, which I appreciate.
You mentioned Bill Davis, you know, the leader of Dash Riprock. Such a, when you talk to him, just such a mild-mannered guy, right? Very kind of laid back and chill, and kind of has like a slacker vibe almost to him, you know, the way he talks and everything, right? But man, he's just got rock and roll in his blood, doesn't he?
When he gets up on stage, it just lights a fire. It's totally an incredible thing. And it, I always think it's a two signs of a concert or a gig going well is, one, when somebody is buying people they have never met before drinks. And Scott Parks was buying beers for the two people who were sitting in the front, like thrashing their heads the whole time. That was very impressive. And then when people start sending drinks to the band on stage, it's always a good sign that the gig is going well. And we sent up drinks and other things as well.
As a lot of people probably already know from the podcast, I'm from South Louisiana, where Dash Riprock hails, and I've seen them many times back in the 90s, but this time was probably the first time I've seen them in the 2000s. But man, they were excellent back then, and they've even improved their show since then. It's just so fun to watch them. And at the end of the show, I had to go and tell Bill, he's a twisted bleeping genius. Absolutely. Now, Scott Parks is not here on this recording, but I think people may recall that he was kind of into the show.
A little bit. Yeah, he really got into Dash. And I don't think he'd ever seen him before, but the rock and roll magic really took a hold of him.
He was right up front dancing around, urging other people to get up there with him. It was really funny. Kevin Bartlett has something to say.
So I had the after effect of Scott Parks because he drove me home on Sunday. And he looked like he had a great time, right? I mean, we saw that he had a great time, but he was driving, and I'm like, "Are you okay?" He goes, "Yeah, yeah." And then we're talking, and he's like, "Yep, my wife's got her family coming over." I'm like, "Well, that's going to be a lot of fun."
Yeah, this was the next day you're talking about, the day
that
after.
That was the next day. Scott definitely was enjoying himself.
Absolutely.
You know, speaking of enjoying themselves, I'm so happy that Brad Mailer came. On Saturday night, I think one of the only people that was more excited than Scott Parks was the bass player from Dash Rip Rock, and Brad was right there in the front watching the bass player and right in front of him the whole time. And he went to go give Brad a hug in the parking lot, and several people were there. And he took Brad down. It was just meant to be a hug. It wasn't meant to be anything, you know, physically assaulting. But they both went down in a heap. And we rode home with Brad, and somehow Bill Mulligan got us down that mountain in West Virginia during, like, some horrifying thunderstorms. Like, our phones were going off saying there's a tornado warning in your area. Bill continued to plow straight ahead, but Brad was wrapped up pretty good. He had some ribs issues and a big cut on his arm. So he definitely went the full mile for the fest.
We hope Brad is recovered by now.
Yes, I believe he's doing much better.
Doing okay.
Yep.
A couple things I want to say about the Dash set. One thing, Patrick, you and I discussed this. I had kind of forgotten that amid all the cowpunk and stuff like that, they also have some really nice little jangly songs too.
Mm-hmm.
And sort of like about, you know, 2/3 way through the set or so, they kind of went into that mode. If you go back to their first album especially, you'll hear, I think, some of those songs from, you know, back when they were hanging out in Georgia with like REM and stuff like that. I think they got a lot of that. They were part of that kind of scene.
They definitely were. People tend to forget that. Yeah.
That was nice. And then also, at one point they had a guy come up. His name was Cowboy George, mm-hmm. I think was his name. And they did Folsom Prison Blues with Cowboy George singing. That was cool. And
that was amazing.
Didn't he like slip in some Pinball Wizard, I think, there? Sort of like segued right into Pinball Wizard. It was really interesting. And then at the end of the show, the encore, the song the Dash played to finish the whole thing off was ZZ Top's LaGrange.
Yes.
And that was hot. That was smoking hot.
And Cowboy George rocking a Stray Cats t-shirt, sleeveless. That's not something you see too much anymore, but it was outstanding.
A quick correction. His name was actually Buckshot George. Rockin' the Suburbs apologizes to George and the entire Buckshot family. All right. There we go. And absolutely, you are correct, Patrick. Bill Mulligan was a boss navigating the fit through storms to the D.C. area. Amazing job.
The weather was so hairy, I wasn't even talking.
All right. Any other last thoughts? Here's your last chance, guys. Adam Coop.
Billy McNeil and I have submitted paperwork to the Bell of Louisville to include Frank Muffin and Wingtip Slope collide. So next time you all come, hopefully you can catch some of that.
Coley, do you have something to say?
I just want to thank Coop and Billy for the huge welcome to their fair city. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
What a blast. What a blast. It was so much fun. So now I got to tell people, listeners, you do have a chance to join us for a fest yet this year, the end of the month, September 28th through the 30th in the DC area. Go to suburbspod.com/fest for those details. But we're going to have two nights of live music from some really great bands. And then the third night, we're going to end this time with the live Hootenanny, the open mic / live band karaoke. That'll be the closing event. And I think that's going to go really well.
Yeah. And if anybody has not seen or heard the band that's playing on Thursday night, in the opening slot, you're really going to want to catch this band. They don't play a ton, but the Airport 77s, they're really outstanding. You do not want to miss them.
All right. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, all.
Get some more, you know, rest up. Another fest is coming. And we'll try to do some really great stuff next year, but don't talk to me about that yet. Do not. All right. It's Rock in the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
And with us has been Kevin Clement, Rob Gates, Bill Mulligan, Kevin Bartlett, Mike Coley, Keith Jacobson, Adam Coop, Billy McNeil. Thanks, guys. We'll talk to y'all later.
I've never tried the Malort before, and I'll never try it again. So